Let's go down to Chase Field in Arizona and bring in Andy Baggerly from Bay Area Newspaper Group. Andy, how are you today?
I'm good, Marty. How are you?
Good. Extra bags. You've survived the night. Boy, what a game last night.
Oh, it was. I mean, over 5 hours. And really, it was not moving at a swift pace at any point. It was over 4 hours just to complete nine innings. And obviously, a lot of pitching changes and pretty stunning. The first time the Giants have ever used 10 pitchers in a game in franchise history when they only had a 25-man roster. The franchise record was 11. In fact, seven of the same guys who were used last night. But that was in a September game at Chase Field in 2012 when they had a 40-man roster. So it was literally all hands on deck. In fact, Chris Heston's coming out of the shower, and I told him, "You slacker, you didn't do anything today." any win feels good after you win, no matter how you do it. And we saw a lot of good things, a lot of troubling things, and I'm sure we'll get to all of that.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm glad to have you on. Andy Baggerly with us. Follow him on Twitter at Extra Bags with two Gs. I watched the game, and by the third pitch, I said to myself, I'm sorry, Matt Cain does not look right tonight. It looked like he even got under the ball, almost threw sidearm, I think, on the third pitch. He went five innings, and I guess the last inning was okay. But, boy, he says he needs spring training, but my goodness, that was not a good performance by Matt Cain last night. What was your take?
Well, he was leaving a lot of mistakes over the plate, and you know the good sign is that fifth inning, he is throwing with that sort of same velocity, and when he's starting to locate his off-speed stuff, he looks kind of like Matt Cain, and it's a lot tougher to try to fix diminished stuff, diminished velocity, than it is inconsistent command. And so that's the good sign. The bad sign is that we've seen just inconsistency from him in three starts. It's only three starts. He said he doesn't really want to give himself that grace period to settle in because he knows they're into the second half and they need him. They need him to be on the level every time out. But I think this is sort of what we have to expect from Matt Cain. I've covered guys who've had this flexor strain before, and what they say is that last little bit of extension is the hardest to get, the last little finish on your pitch. And sometimes you have it, sometimes you don't. And obviously that can make the world of a difference when you're throwing a slider, whether you hang it over the middle of the plate or you hit that good location that gets a swing and a miss. And the other thing about Cain is he's thrown a lot of innings in his career. And he's not only learning how to come back from this injury, but he's learning to throw with basically, a different response from his body. He's got a more range of motion than he had before, and in a way, he's kind of relearning how to pitch all over again, and that is just not something that's going to happen overnight or in a half a dozen starts.
Well, good. You gave a very good example there about not being able to finish your pitches or not being able to get that slider. That's sort of what I felt last night, that he would hold it too long or it just hung over the plate. So, all right, well, we'll see. That's three starts for him. But as I opened up the show, you probably heard me say it offensively. My goodness. Andy, and you go back to 2010 when this whole thing started, this run, this offense is churning. And I realized 2-for-19, and when I saw that number, I couldn't believe it, with runners in scoring position last night, and one of which was the Vogelsong bunt single. But this offense, you look at Duffy, who's in the third spot. He's not going anywhere. You look at Panic.
No.
And my God, if you extrapolate Pence's numbers out, he's Lou Gehrig. It's this offense. I don't know how you feel about it, but to me, this offense is sort of masking a lot of things that may happen here over these next 70 games.
Yep, and Buster's had a very good first half as well, and he's the most valuable offensive player in there. And even though we can talk a lot about Brandon Belt and his struggles, and he's hitting less than 150 against left-handers, and I think Bruce Bochy's going to have to make a concession to that going forward. But, even he started the second half second in the AL in doubles. So he's doing good things for you on occasion too, just not consistently. And even Angel Pagan, who was just miserable at the plate for a couple months there, had a nice homestand to finish. And they're obviously going to be relying on him going forward too. But you're right. It's you really should lose an extra inning game in which you have four doubles with nobody out and in four separate innings, and you don't score any of those guys. And I didn't even register to me that one of their two hits with runners in scoring position was Vogelsong's bunt single, as you pointed out, which is pretty funny. So, but you know what? I think that you see more consistency from a good offense on day to day, and they're going to need it because especially at home, I don't think they have the pitching staff to win 2-1, 3-2 like they did in the past. They might have to win, you know, 4-3 or 5-4 or 6-5 And thankfully for them, they have shown some signs of being able to do that.
Well, the Dodgers lost the first game, the suspended game. It's interesting. Someone wrote to me and said, look, Arizona, you know, they have a leaky roof. In Washington, they couldn't pay their electric bill. So that's the state of National League Baseball here. But they completed the game, and the Dodgers ended up losing 5-3 as Matt Dendecker, I love his name, hit a two-run homer to win that 5-3. Today, it is Jake Peavy. And again, we've got 2 weeks before the trade deadline and all that. We saw Kane last night. Who knows what could happen with him? Peavy goes today. He's had two good starts. Andy, are they cutting it kind of close in figuring out who they are before July 31st? Or are we looking at it with the addition maybe of a Vogelsong and Hudson and a Lincecum? Is that what we're really looking at?
Well, I was talking to Bobby Evans about this yesterday, and they are very they turn over a lot of rocks. And they'll make a lot of inquiries with a lot of clubs and ask if players are available. And, you know, as Bobby said to me, if you don't ask, you don't know. And it's not like you always are, you know, hyper interested in player X, Y, and Z. You might really want player W or V, but you ask about all of them so you don't maybe telegraph your, you know, super high interest and get, you know, put over the barrel on if you want to try to acquire a specific player. So a lot of it all goes up as part of the process, and that's why you hear the Giants come up in so many trade rumors. But I'll tell you what, after a game like last night, I think their biggest need is a center fielder, because I just don't know if Angel Pagan can play center field anymore. And those were three tough balls over his head. I think a good center fielder maybe catches one of those. He certainly misplayed one of them into a triple for Peralta. Crawford made the brilliant play to erase that. But I just got to think, when Nori Aoki comes back or even before then, maybe you can DL Angel, freshen up his knees, and send him to the minors on a rehab assignment and stick him in left field and say, here you go. Now have some innings out here and get used to the position, because he's just so far below average now. And he's playing hurt, and he's doing the best I think that he can. A lot of times it looks like he's not trying. I don't know if that's the case. I think it's more, you know, he's playing hurt and he's doing his best to be out there every day. He knows the team's relying on him. But the center field play is really, really not good. And whether it's Gregor Blanco out there for a while, or a guy who'd be a great fit is Cameron Maben, who maybe you wouldn't have to give up the world for. Carlos Gomez would be a difference maker, but he'd obviously cost a little bit more. You know, Austin Jackson's a guy that I've heard maybe on the block at some point. But, you know, getting back to your question, yeah, I think the Giants are going to take as much time as they can leading up to the trade deadline, especially since, aside from the Phillies and maybe the Reds, there aren't a whole lot of clubs that are lined up to sell right now, and they're just waiting to get a good offer. And a lot of this jockeying happens in the last couple of days before July 31st, you know, because it's tough for teams like maybe the Tigers or Rangers or Mariners, who, you know, sell a lot of tickets and they're used to being competitive. You don't want to wave that white flag until the last instant, because it doesn't send a good message to your fan base. So that's why I think that they're going to have to muddle through still for another week, 2 weeks, and until we find out just what that trade market might hold.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. This second half, these 2 weeks, and even the second half, maybe the most unusual I've seen, because we just have the second wild card for a few years now, but everybody's in it. I mean, as you point out, maybe you could take six teams in both leagues and say, okay, you know, you may not get there. But over these next 2 weeks, three or four more will disappear. I like Maben. I like that idea. My thought is that Pagan is going to be eased out of center field. He'll have another year to go in the contract, but it's time. And I thought maybe just platoon him with Blanco. Just get Blanco in against the right-handers and Pagan against the lefties, where he's hitting third in the league against lefties, at least to get that done. But they're hesitant with Pagan. I don't understand why.
No, I don't really understand it either, especially, you know, Blanco goes in and on a double switch, or pardon me, he stays in the game after pinch hitting last night, and he goes to left field, and you just think, gosh, this is just so backwards. You know, Blanco should be in center field, but, right, you know, it's tough to ask Angel in the middle of a game when he hasn't played left field in a couple of years to do that. That's why, you know, if he could go to the minors and maybe get a little time there, it would be, you know, fair to him. But I think he's got that I'm a center fielder type mentality. You get run into that with a lot of veterans. I remember Steve Finley was very much that way, and he was a center fielder until the last day of his career, even into his 40s, even when, you know, there were better center fielders on the roster. And, you know, maybe ego come into play a little bit, I'm guessing there, but, you know, I haven't heard anything about Angel saying, look, I'm only going to play center field. So, you know, he's an employee just like everybody else, and Bruce Bochy, it's one of his greatest strengths as a manager is to get players to, you know, play roles out of their comfort zone, whether it's putting Tim Lincecum in the bullpen or taking Barry Zito off a playoff roster or you know, whatever. And so, you know, this may be one more instance where he's got to get somebody to buy in and get on board.
Yeah, I think the DL is going to be their very good friend here over the next 2 weeks. I firmly believe that because they've got people coming back. They're, you know, it's like they have 28 or 29 players literally for 25 spots. I mean, these are not like rookies who can be optioned back. They've got them here. Osich is another one. He hasn't given up a hit. I think I saw that today. He hasn't given up a hit yet. Only thing, Jonathan Sanchez, I think, had a little longer streak to start a career. But he's not going anywhere, as you pointed out in your blog yesterday. Osich is here. So this is going to be fun. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. You did a great story this week on Bruce Bochy and his health issues and how he's approaching it. I want to commend you for that. And I want to ask you one thought about it. You know, I always like in August, I say about the 20th of August, the light comes on for Bruce Bochy, and all of a sudden he's a different manager. Has the light come on earlier for him? Because, boy, in the Philly series and this series, every move is he's making, it's like a playoff right now.
Well, let's put it this way. He made 7 pitching changes as the NL All-Star manager on Tuesday, and he made 9 last night. So that occurred to me after I filed my story, and so I tweeted that out, and it's pretty remarkable. But yeah, I think he's at the stage where, look, he knows what the schedule holds, and he's not going to burn out his players because he understands and respects the marathon of a 162 game season. But it is a little bit of a different year. As you say, they have like 29 players basically, and some of them they're trying to limp through, whether it's Lincecum or Hudson or Peavy or Kane, a lot of them on the pitching side. You know, so it is a little bit of a different roster to manage because you can move some people in and out with the disabled list. And I think that was the plan going into the season with the rotation.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think that Bochy looks at this schedule and he does probably feel more of a sense of urgency. That's a guess on my part because he knows what lays ahead in August. And yeah, it is a brutal schedule. You've got a 3-city trip. It doesn't matter who you're playing. A 3-city trip to the East Coast is tough. To start the month with Texas, Atlanta, and Chicago. And then their next 7 series are all against winning teams. You've got the Cardinals-Pirates trip. You've got the Cardinals at home, the Astros at home. You've got the Cubs and Cardinals at home. And then you start or end August, go into September down at Dodger Stadium, where we know that the Giants have played very well against the Dodgers, 9-3 this year, but they're still probably forecast to be leading the division or at least contending at that point. So I think the Giants kind of know, Bochy knows, hey, look, you know, I can't afford to let a game slip away because I didn't use a reliever here in July, because this is where they got to start building some wins against some of these teams that don't have winning records.
Well, you're right. You're right. And I'll leave it with this. I still say, I've said it in spring training when you and I were standing there watching the 8 mounds, and these guys doing their first bullpens, they need another starting pitcher, and they better win within the West, and because that's going to be critical. They're only a game or two over 500 within the West. Notwithstanding everyone else they got to play, they better win within the West. And Arizona gave them a good game last night. They can hit, but these are games I think they have to win, as you just pointed out.
Yeah, and I still would not put it past them to get a starting pitcher, especially if they don't like what they see from Kane and Peavy, or somebody else goes down, or Hudson goes down again. Because there are going to be some choices out there, and they're all going to be, you know, fairly competitive. I wouldn't look at the Cuetos and Hamels, Samardzijas of the world, Price, if he gets moved. But, even a second-tier guy like Mike Leake might command a little too much, but he would be a good fit. I think they like him. We talked about him a lot. But there are other pitchers out there, too, that they might be able to plug in as sort of rental players or what have you. So the good thing is that the bullpen needs to be firmed up after what we've seen the last couple of weeks. And certainly that was a great group effort. The one guy who gave up a run was Machi on a ball over Angel's head. And Machi may not be long for this roster. So that was definitely a good sign, I think. Probably the best sign of the night going forward is how well the bullpen pitched.
All right. Hey, Andy, thank you so much. I hope we can get you on tomorrow. We're on early at 9 o'clock tomorrow. But this every game now is a huge story for me because of all the things we talked about today. So last night was a good one, and glad you were out there. You got a little bit of sleep, and you're ready to go today. So I appreciate you being on.
Thank you, Marty. Always enjoy your time with you.
Very good. Very good report. Thanks, Andy. All right, that is Andy Baggerly, Extra Bags. Follow him on Twitter, Bay Area Newspaper Group, and he nails it every time we talk to him.